Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show, Mark.
Glad to be here, Jim. And I want to remind everyone that I am not a financial advisor, nor do I provide financial advice, but we sure talk a lot about the markets and my VR Trader newsletters.
Do we have a special offer for listeners?
I will do that for you guys. 50% off. Go to VRTrader.com. Promo code that you enter is 2022 half off in lowercase, 2022 half off, and you get 50% off any of our newsletters. And if you go to the website, VRTrader.com, you see that we cover all different markets, from cannabis to precious metals to market timing to our VR forecaster report, which we published in January. And it predicted at that point, watch out for a July peak. And we'll see how far that's going to work out here, because we seem to have peaked out at least short term.
The U.S. credit rating was downgraded by Fitch from AAA to AA+. What kind of an impact has that had, or what kind of an impact do you think it will have?
Well, it was really funny about that story. I may not be able to answer your question as directly as you would like, but Janet Yellen, the Secretary of Treasury, got all fluffed up about it. She started, you know, waving her fingers at Fitch, saying, "You shouldn't have done that. I'm going to slap your hand. There was no reason to really do that, and really wasn't the proper thing to do." And acting like a nice Jewish grandmother, she just said, "Yeah, bad call, guys. You shouldn't have been doing that." So, you know, this just gets down to the stupidity. Of course, the debt should be downgraded, because we're over our head in debt. And, you know, this is not the first time the U.S. debt's been downgraded. That's the excuse being used for this market correction. It's funny, you know, I always talk about this, how, you know, you can have cyclical or technical forecasts or indicators, and suddenly some news justifies it later, and you see it ahead of time in the chart patterns or in the cyclical studies, and usually some type of outlier event that you just didn't predict that suddenly causes these things, but you knew it was coming based on your work. So I knew it was coming to some kind of a correction. Man, Fitch comes out and cooperates. What can I say? It's a reflection of reality. And no one's paying any attention to it, except for some traders, I guess, who got nervous here. But it's a meaningful statement about the way we're managing our economy and our finances. And, you know, we're going to pay a price in a big way at some point. And I don't know how it's all going to be figured out, because, you know, we've talked about this 1,000 times. We've got an incompetent Federal Reserve who've done a lot to destroy the U.S. dollar over the last you know, over 110 years since it was created. And you got the Congress, and not only in the U.S., around the world, spending money like drunken sailors. And eventually the currencies, you know, dip to zero because they're not worth anything. And people look for hedges, you know, which is, you know, what? You know, gold, real estate, commodities, anything to get away from the dollar itself, which is depreciating in value. That's, you know, so we have all this crazy stuff going on, and all this crazy spending and money mismanagement is causing the inflation, which is still out there. And, you know, we have a lying government. I mean, you know, we have all articles I publish in my newsletter. I mean, basically, we're not told the truth. Like the Bureau of Labor Statistics, I call the Bureau of Lying Statistics. The mainstream media is not telling you the truth about the economy. You know, whether they're told to do this, the way you hear the FBI got involved with Facebook and Zuckerberg on those congressional interviews, or whether it's just basically, you know, stupidity. Meanwhile, you know, the economy is supposedly doing well, but the economy is tanking. In the trucking business, for example, a lot of the trucking companies are having problems. Yellow Freight, for example, just had a big nosedive because it had to lay off a lot of people, had to file for bankruptcy. What else is going on? Anheuser-Busch, you know, had mass layoffs just recently. I don't know if that has to do with the, what was it, Miller Lite? That's Anheuser-Busch, because Miller Lite.
Bud Light.
Bud Light. Well, it was Bud Light, so it was Anheuser-Busch mistake with that woke call. The cost of living continues to soar. The number of corporate debt defaults are not being reported as aggressively as they're occurring. There's a lot going on in the U.S. right now. Cost of living continues to soar. Just in the state of California, there's millions of households are way behind in their rent. And there appears a mass tsunami of evictions might be coming there. We're told that electric vehicles are supposed to be the wave of the future, but Ford is going to lose about $4.5 billion on electric vehicles alone this year. We have the yield curve inversion, which is historically always the predictor of a recession. That's when short-term rates are higher than long-term rates. Home foreclosures are increasing. There is a shortage of housing and so forth, which is helping housing prices, but there are some foreclosures occurring. Many have to do with the refinancing issues. You know, people had interest rates at 2%. Now they have to pay 7 or 8%. So, you know, they're just on and on and on about, you know, the misinformation about that. And I keep talking about, and I had a whole article in my, newsletter about the plunge protection team. We talked about this briefly last week. No mention whatsoever in the media. Really no mention whatsoever. I mean, this is the government intervening in the market. As far as I'm concerned, I can't prove it. But, you know, the Magnificent Seven stocks that have rallied in the past year, they could have been driven up by the plunge protection team, which has the money to do it, which accounted for the majority advance in the indexes, the S&P, and they're there to do it. And, you know, it was created back in 1988 by Ronald Reagan. And I got an interesting quote here, if I can pull it out. This a former Federal Reserve Board member, Robert Heller, was quoted in the Wall Street Journal. He opined that instead of flooding the entire economy with liquidity and thereby increasing the danger of inflation, the Fed, remember, this is a former governor of the Fed, he says, could support the stock market directly by buying market averages in the futures market, thereby stabilizing the market as a whole. So I've been talking about this for years. I'm sure that recommendation has been taken for by a long time by the Fed. We know Japan does this with their stocks and ETFs. And I think this is what has happened. I think, you know, I'm not saying it's going to end, but when the banking crisis hit, the Fed jumped in. Besides trying to stabilize the banking crisis, which is not over, there's still several small banks that are in trouble. And they drove the stock market up to try to cover up, you know, the tracks here of something being wrong, thinking, well, if stocks are going up, people think everything is okay. We have nothing to worry about. The Fed's figured everything. And, you know, meanwhile, they're manipulating the market up to cover it up. So, you know, it's like a dog making a poop and then kicking his legs back and trying to cover it over, right? They're just trying to cover over the errors that have occurred. And it's just, you know, just amazing. The misreporting of numbers, I mean, I can spend a lot of time on that. I mean, the statistics that come out, the reporters don't do their homework. They just report what the government releases. And they
don't forget, when you see people on TV, they're picked because they're pretty, not because they're smart.
Correct. Or they're willing to dig deeper or ask questions.
Well, no, that's not their job. They're there to look pretty.
Well, Well, you're probably right. You're probably right.
Fox News in England, everybody's blonde. Well, no matter what their ethnicity is, they're all blonde.
Well, you know, the networks in recent years, you know, I love pretty women. You know, it's nice
That's
looking
right.
at pretty girls, but there's more and more of them on television today in recent decades. It used to be all men reporting. Now it's women reporting in the financial news and just everywhere. You know, so it you're right. I mean, an attractive woman is going to gain a lot more following and attention than a handsome guy, even though the women would like him. But the women seem to be the... You know, the media to broadcast the news now. So, you know, it just, they don't do their homework on the news. They accept the numbers that come out from the government as being correct, and then they're revised later and realize that they weren't correct to begin with. So we're being lied to about the statistics over and over again. And then meanwhile, they're sitting there with bated breath, their mouths hanging open, waiting for some economic report to come out. And, you know, government is manipulating the news. We know they already try to manipulate social commentary. There's been congressional interrogation regarding that already. Zuckerberg is one of the most classic comments, but Twitter has also reported this. So we live in a world of lies, and what you have to do is do your own homework. And, you know, I guess if you own Apple Computer and it goes up every day, or Microsoft, and you're making money, you say, the heck with it. I'm not going to, you know, create any waves. I'm not going to question anybody. I'm not going to talk about the news being correct because I'm making money. And I think that's what the government has figured out. You know, just keep pumping money in there, you know, covering up the dirt by driving prices higher, making people feel wealthier or safer in some way. And they go about their dirty work and do things which are not correct, like mismanaging our country in a lot of different ways, and mostly in the financial, but we also know in the geopolitical sphere. So we got China buying up farmland in the U.S. We have China having a base in Cuba. We have a lot of things going on which are serious events, and not much is you know, being done about, though there's some superficial talk. And again, it all gets down to it. You know, does the average person want to get aggravated about it? And, he probably would if the stock market was crashing or if his house was dropping in value. But if the house is going up and stocks are up, they keep their mouth shut. And I think this is part and parcel of the game. And this is why I raised the subject about the plunge protection team and, incorrect government statistics. So that's sort of where I come from. And I, you know, do a lot of my work with the charts, contrary thinking cycles, and try to put together a scenario, and one of which was watch out here for a little top here in April, I mean in July, and we'll take it from there. But we do have the election next year and more government intervention, and, you know, even if we do get a correction, you know, probably the powers that be will drive prices again higher, just trying to cover up the problems that are out there.
I just saw a story. The U.S. Strategic oil reserve is basically dry because the president emptied it to keep gasoline prices down for political reasons.
Right, and there's another story about they may want to keep it down, too, because there may be less reason to spend billions of dollars, which they'd rather spend on something else to replenish it. And it is at near historic low levels right now, which, you know, is a you know, a national issue in terms of a problem arising with China and other places that we don't have the oil stored that we really need. It was being sold off to depress prices so that the Biden administration would look better if oil prices, you know, come down a little bit. Meanwhile, they're sort of screwed a little bit because on the cyclical basis, oil turned up. Got over $80 a barrel. It's pulling back here a little bit. It's probably headed to 100 and ultimately 200, you know, just for international demand reasons and possibly geopolitical reasons, most notably what's going on in possibly in Taiwan or the Far East, if Near East and Far East. And, you know, so the stocks have been going up and, you know, there's a demand there for it. And we're finding out the EV craze isn't what everybody thought it was. As I just mentioned a moment ago, Ford's lost some money, billions on the, EV, project. And people are sitting back and saying, I don't want to wait 9 hours in line and spend a lot of money, charging or not be able to charge at all. And, the costs are high and the infrastructure to charge these vehicles really doesn't exist. And, you know, as I mentioned myself, I bought a hybrid because I want to be able to drive anywhere I want to drive and get gas and not depend on some electric vehicle charging station, which is not going to be there or it's going to take forever to charge. So it's a long way before this, hits the mainstream. So, yeah, I'm ranting a little bit, but that's the point I wanted to make.
Well, for me, when I watch a newscast, listen to the news, read a newspaper, I'm highly critical because I have been in this particular business. I became full-time 2 weeks after my 18th birthday. So my entire adult life. And I've always asked questions. My mom said my first word was why, not mummy or daddy or dada or is. And I remember it's because I was told I had to go to bed at a certain time and I wanted to know why. I wasn't tired yet and I wanted to explore the world. Yeah, why? Why is this going on? It's a deliberate dumbing down, no doubt, because the media companies are still making billions of dollars, but they're all cutting back their newscasts. They're getting rid of, you know, first it'll be the sports and community affairs. But it's just going to come down to here, read the government news release. And that's what they do. They just read a news release and they take it as fact. They don't dig into it and they don't have the personnel, staff, or the resources to dig any deeper because they're told to jump on some other story instead of, hey, this one's really interesting. It affects a lot of people. It could affect the affordability of housing. Instead, you have to go and cover a story about two rabbits getting married at the zoo.
I agree. This is it. They're not doing their homework, and we're paying the price for that. And there are individuals like myself and you, and others that are willing to dig into the news, but they're not getting the coverage, or they're basically ignored for whatever reason. So, I can cite a lot of examples. We don't have time on this interview about the misreporting that, unfortunately has been going on. For example, the CB Leading Economic Index for the U.S. declined 0.7% in June to, 106.1, but during the past 6 months, the LEI has fallen 4.2%, while in the prior 6 months ending in December 22, the decline was 3.8%. So the shows of declines in this indicator has been accelerating, but we're not hearing that in the news. This is just stuff that I put into my newsletter. It doesn't fit the scenario. Anyway, that's where we're at. We just have to report what we hear and see, trade accordingly, using our indicators and little common sense, and hopefully we can survive.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, do you think OPEC is serious? The Saudis are serious when they say they're going to cut oil production and stick to that cut?
I don't know why we would disbelieve them. They have no respect for Joe Biden. They'd want to make a deal on oil when he went over and visited them. They realize there's going to be greater demand for oil, and why not make more money? I guess it just comes down to making more money for themselves. So I don't know if there's any political motive here to try to discredit Biden, which, obviously is deserved if he did that. But, I don't know what to say. I mean, if they plan on doing it, fine. The charts say oil's going up overall, whether, that's part of the reason given for the rise in oil prices. But I think it's growing demand, disenfranchising, belief in the EV solution, even though there are some sales out there, and, the recognition that, we need the energy. I mean, the world needs the energy, and we're not getting it, with cutbacks here in the U.S. because of, you know, ridiculous U.S. government position on not drilling and so forth and so on. I mean, the U.S. was in a positive energy position, and the administration that came in, the Democrats, changed that, which was both a security issue for the country and also an economic issue for the people that made a living doing it, and a supply issue for the people that need the raw materials. I guess they'll do it. They want to do it.
What's going on with gold?
Well, a lot of it has to do with what's going on with the dollar. The dollar had a nice decline, you know, for a couple, 3 weeks, and suddenly it turned back north again. And gold seems to, you know, does on occasion, there are exceptions, doesn't always work, but there's generally an inverse relationship. So gold started to pull back here a little bit when the U.S. dollar started to uptick, and that hurt other commodities with the exception of crude, which, as I mentioned earlier, has moved higher. It hurt some of the agricultural commodities, which I still like, but, you know, they had a big run-up, so they had a little bit of a pullback because they're priced in U.S. dollars, and as the dollar rallied here a little bit, the inverse relationship came in, and that drove the prices down. So, it's in a correction. I just hope from a trading or technical point of view, gold holds that 1900 level. That's a big support level, and if that comes out, then we'll have to measure, you know, where the next support level is. I mean, our overall cyclical work says it should be up for the year, and we're going through a corrective phase here, and this is tied to the dollar. I mean, I'm bullish overall. I think gold's going to take out the highs, but I can't tell you if it's 2 weeks from now. Our cycle work says we should hit a high, I believe, the end of the year, October, November, and hopefully that's above that 2000 level. But if we take out 1900 as a trader and you're worrying about short-term swings, you have to watch for the next support level or trading bottom. So the worst case scenario is the government is in there aggressively. Again, we're getting into the government and the plunge protection team, but now we're getting into the suppression of gold prices, which the government has been involved with in for decades. And that's been documented by my friends at GATA.org, and it's overt action on the part of the government in the COMEX suppression of gold prices by hitting bids on the COMEX contracts and so forth. And this could still be going on, and if they really want to be aggressive about suppressing the price of gold and silver, they have been doing it for years and could continue to do it. Why? Because, you know, with strong gold discredits the government, and they have other, you know, objectives. You know, they rather see gold soaring, you know, is a credibility issue again for the government. So I think that's part of the reason. So if they weren't involved in manipulating the gold market all these decades, gold would be a lot higher. So let's say they are doing it. That could be a negative. Keep gold down here. We don't want it going up now. And then, you know, they could drive gold down to $1,200, $1,300 an ounce if they really wanted to do something like that. That's possible on the charts. I don't see that as the top scenario. I'm more bullish than that. But, you know, you can't fight Uncle Sam. You know, if he's out there going to, or the Federal Reserve, but don't fight the Fed, I guess, is a better expression. If they're hell-bent to keep prices low, they have the ability to do it. But right now we're in a little negative period with the dollar bouncing, and we'll see if that changes. 1900 support, and we'll take it from there.
Silver, is there anything going on with that?
Same story. It's being suppressed or it's being manipulated. I think silver should be $50 to $100 an ounce. There's big demand, particularly in the solar industry. A lot of collectible interest. You know, if you try to get physical silver, it's very difficult and very expensive. If you go to the futures market, you try to buy silver, and you can pay, what, $21, $22 an ounce. But if you actually want physical silver, you got to pay up to $30, $35 an ounce to get a coin. Big premiums because the physical market is different than the futures market, which is, again, manipulated. So a lot of hoarding going on there, part of people, a lot of economic demand for the material. So overall, it's a bullish economic scenario, And as far as the trading scenario is concerned, that sort of depends on what gold's doing and what the U.S. dollar is doing short term. But, you know, a big bull on both. It's just a question of timing. You know, is it now or is it 2 years from now? And that's the big problem for those who are trading. So if you're trading, you have to watch, you know, what's happening with the dollar. You have to watch the support and resistance levels in the chart. You have to watch, you know, what's going on in the on the COMEX and the positions of the traders. You know, the trader reports that come out from the commodity exchanges. One positive note, though, is you know they there has been you know reports that you know the position of traders is relatively low in the gold market, which means they're sort of bearish on it here a little bit, and that might be a good contrary indicator. So we'll see what the next reports are. Again, these reports are delayed. I don't know if you can rely on them for trading purposes, but right now we're in a little bit of a correction, so let's see if that changes. We're in the time frame for a little bottom here, so let's see if the dollar reverses and we get some chart pattern confirming a little cyclical bottom, because you generally get a low in these metals in the early summer. And we're sort of due for that. So market's not cooperating this moment, but I'm holding my gold positions and my stocks because my overall model says up until the end of the year overall. So we'll have to sort of suffer through the short term here and see if it changes for our benefit.
August 22nd, the BRICS are supposed to have some kind of an announcement about a gold-backed currency. What kind of an impact would that have?
Well, I read that's not going to happen. There was actually an article I put in my newsletter the other day that the people that were involved in that BRICS meeting said there is no plan to do anything with the gold-backed currency, even though all the stories up to this point said that was going to happen. So we're getting contrary getting input. In other words, you know, it's supposed to happen. Now they're saying it's not going to happen. Maybe they'll do it just to surprise everybody in late August. But that was sort of a, you know, that was sort of a bullish factor, I suppose, for the gold bulls here. And the other question is, even if they did it, what impact would it have? I mean, you're fighting the U.S. dollar. You're trying to create another currency backed by gold. You know, Brazil, Russia, you know, the whole group that's behind it, the BRICS group, you know, they want to discredit the dollar and for good reason, but, you know, they like to have a currency backed by gold. So we'll see if they change their mind based on contrary input we're getting, and we'll see what happens around August 22nd. But the question is, what power do they really have? And, you know, the Federal Reserve is pretty powerful, you know what I'm saying? And you got Japan doing its thing over there, and, you know, a lot of governments manipulating their currencies and being able to pump money or take money out of the systems. And, you know, can the BRICS offset what's going on elsewhere? And there's a real, you know, doubt in my mind that they have the power yet to do that. And if the Fed wants to do its thing and keep interest rates high and suppress the gold market, I don't know if the BRICS can, regardless of creating a currency and backing it with gold, whether that would change anything right away. So it'll be interesting to see if they do it and if it has any impact. I'm sort of skeptical that they have enough power now to really change things. You know, the U.S. would have to do it. Britain would have to do it. Japan would have to do it. Everybody, everybody would have to get together and say our currencies are backed by gold. I mean, it would have to be a universal international decision, and I don't think that's happening so fast. But, you know, Nixon took us off the gold standard back in 71, and everybody would have to go on the gold standard, and then there's going to be a big argument at what price do we value gold. You know, some say you have to have a tremendously high value to offset the debt that's out there, which is a big problem for all the world governments and central banks. And, you know, you hear some numbers like 20, 30,000 an ounce or some crazy number would have to be fabricated to establish the value of the currencies high enough to offset the debt of all these countries. And that doesn't seem very likely. So, you just wonder how this is all going to play out. I think you want to own gold just as a hedge. It's been a store of value for 5,000 or more years, and you can't be thinking about trading it as the main reason for buying it. Now, we know I like to trade the stocks and write about it and so forth, because there are ups and downs, just like in the stock market. And if you can trade it back and forth, you can make more money than just sitting for years and years and watching it go up and down and not benefiting from the various swings. But ultimately, the bulls will take over because why? The governments are mismanaging their finances. The geopolitical situation is crazy. And, at some point history will bear out because, despite all the, all the things that have occurred, gold has still been there. Why was Fort Knox created? Why do governments still want to store government? There was a story the other day, I think it was Poland was out there acquiring several tons of gold. Why are governments doing this? Because some governments anyway, and I'm sure the U.S. as well, and we know China's been accumulating it, and Russia for sure, because Putin was a big buyer of gold, because they all know it's a store value on a historical basis. So, does that mean it's going to run up to 3,000 an ounce tomorrow? We don't know that. I mean, at some point it will, but, it's a good place to diversify, and, that's the best I can advisor consult you in terms of strategy here, in terms of a bigger picture view. But short term, let's watch the dollar and let's see what the short term cycles, how they play out here this summer.
You're a person who doesn't just stare at his computer screen all day. You also keep an eye on the skies. What's happening geocosmically?
Oh, wow. There's a lot of fun stuff going on out there. We off air, we were talking about how some supposed geologists are telling us that the Tonga volcano, which has been active, or volcanoes in general really don't affect our weather or our climate or anything on the planet, which is just the opposite, historically. Right now I think there's about 43, this is reported from the Smithsonian, there's about 45 actually active volcanoes on the planet right now. I'm not saying any one of them is a super volcano like a Yellowstone, which could blow and end civilization, but that's something to keep in mind. And last night there was a meteorite, they call it Bright Fireball, rattles through Virginia. And exploded in the sky. It was 2:13 in the morning, and it just set off these sonic booms, and it was a big story on the East Coast. And basically, NASA reported that it was just a 75-pound rock, part of a comet that came through, no warning whatsoever, just came through through the sky. And according to them, it was a diameter of about a foot. And the thing just, racked up hell for the people who watched this thing blaze through the sky and shook up their lives a little bit. So yeah, there's always, fun stuff out there. Just, that's why, I monitor this stuff. But the funny thing is, when the big one comes, we're probably, it's going to be a surprise because obviously there was no warning for this. And we've already seen, misanalysis on some asteroid activity. And, always watching the solar flare activity out there because there's always activity on the sun, geomagnetic storms. There's, in fact, one right now that's supposedly due August 4th through 6th, and it's expected to hit the Earth's magnetic field. What impact that'll have, we don't know. Some it could be severe, some not. We always talk about the Carrington event in the mid-1800s, this huge solar storm that fried the Western Union lines, and at some point, we're going to be the brunt of some surprise geomagnetic, geocosmic event. So a little fireball in the sky in the East Coast, that's just a little small little thing, but there's a lot of stuff out there. We have the volcanoes on the planet, and, we're vulnerable. There's hurricane season now. Always fun stuff out there. So we're just pawns in a big game, Jim. We know that.
I know. Little bugs on a speck of dust hurling through the universe, doing a million miles a day around the sun.
Right. We're sitting there watching our screens in the stock market and listening to what the Federal Reserve has to say. So to me, it's a comedy. It really is. But, we have to deal with our real lives and our families and our pets and our exercise and our climate and, do what we have to do to, plod through all this. We're only here on Earth for a short period of time, so we have to make the best of it. But it's sure fun watching these things.
Mark, thank you so much for being on the show.
My pleasure being here.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. If you have any questions for Mark or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com, our YouTube channel, Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter @HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com Radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com Radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.